is a continuation of our lessons on the names of God, and it is also a beginning of a new focus, and that is the names of God in the New Testament. The names of God in the New Testament. If you will turn in your Bibles this morning to Isaiah chapter 9. Unless you get your place there in Isaiah chapter 9, and then I promised you a visual aid this morning. And if you laugh at me, it's going to hurt my feelings, all right? So just keep that in mind. But it's a bit of a crude, simple illustration, but it's an effective one, I believe. How do you, in your mind, conceive of the Scriptures as a whole, all right? We have the Bible, singular. We have two testaments, plural, correct? Now, we carry them in one book. But in your mind, as you study, as you meditate, read in your own devotions, as you hear preached and taught the Word of God, do you conceive of the Old Testament? Don't laugh. And the New Testament. Is that how you conceive? Are you with me? You understand what I'm asking you? With a division in between. Malachi to Matthew. Two testaments. But we have one Bible, right? I hope that we don't conceive of the Word of God this way. I would rather you do it this way. All right. Think about this. I got an amen out of it. Old Testament, reaching in. New Testament. That's the way I would like for us, especially in the days ahead here as we study the names of God, to perceive of or to view in our minds the Scriptures. Not old and new, but old interwoven with new. All right. Now, I'm talking about specifically the names of God here. Don't come up and we'll get into the antinomian debate. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the names of God. Now, I ask you to turn to Isaiah chapter 9. And we are going to start with a verse of Scripture. Two verses of Scripture. In fact, I think we'll go ahead and read several verses here in Isaiah 9 that so epitomize that illustration I just showed you, that reaching forth into the New Testament. In Isaiah chapter 9, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Here, the prophet speaks of that one who would come. And it is the new covenant that we speak of today. The covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will spend several weeks here now dealing. In fact, the lesson is getting big on me. I'm really having to try to harness it, to try to get my mind around it. It's a lot bigger than me. But when we turn to the New Testament, when we turn, for instance, to Matthew chapter 1, if you will, Matthew chapter 1, in verse 20, we read, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord." The angel of the Lord. And so in our New Testament, this is the first mention of the name of God, the Lord, capital L. "The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Now, we will deal with other names as Jesus and Christ and Holy Ghost. But we're going to start with this word, Lord. Lord. That is the Greek word kurios. In the King James Version, it is translated Lord, speaking of God, 667 times. It is translated Lord with a lowercase L, speaking of a man, 54 times. Master and Sir and others. I thought of this, you ladies, if you're still having trouble calling your husband Lord, then you could call him Kurios. I mean, it's just a transitional thing. And then when you have a curious black eye next week, I'll know what you did. Strong's says the word curios is from the Greek kuros, meaning supremacy. We would agree with that for sure as his attribute of supremacy. John Gill suggests another option, and that it is from the word K-U-R-W, meaning to be. We certainly would appreciate that as well, would we not? Vine's Expository Dictionary, which I will reference a bit this morning, says that kurios, translated Lord, Master, Master, Owner, Sir, is a, quote, a title of wide significance. It is used of an owner, a master, an emperor, or king of idols, ironically, as a title of respect to a father, a husband, a master, a ruler, an angel, has a title of courtesy addressed to a stranger. From the outset of his ministry, this was a common word of address to the Lord Jesus, alike by the people and by his disciples. The word Lord. Now, we don't have an abundance of names in the New Testament, not near as many as we do in the Old. Elohim, Adonai, remember? El Shaddai. We don't have a lot of combinations. But I want you to notice how, remember my illustration, how that the New Testament fulfills the Old. All right, look in your notes here. Deuteronomy 6:16. "Ye shall not tempt the Lord," capitals L-O-R-D, right? "Ye shall not tempt the Lord." That is That is the proper name of God. We've learned that, right? Jehovah, Yahweh. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 4? Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord. Kurios. All right? So what we're trying to do here is establish how these words are translated. We'll get into more of the personal acceptance and claims of Christ in a moment. Adon. In Psalm 110, verse 1, the Lord Jehovah said unto my Lord Adon, sit thou at my right hand, and I will make thine enemies thy footstool. This is translated Lord in Matthew chapter 22, verse 44. The Lord, Kurios, said unto my Lord, Kurios, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. We'll look at this verse in a moment as well. Adonai, in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord, that is Adonai, himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Matthew 1:22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord, Kurios, by the prophet. All right. Elohim, in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God, Elohim, shall stand forever. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter writes, the word of the Lord, Kurios, endureth forever. All right, so there's the word Lord. Now, if you'll look in verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So here we have the first mention of the word, the name God in the New Testament. God in the Greek is theos. Theos. We are studiers of theology, the study of God. Elohim is translated God in the New Testament. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God, Elohim. Matthew chapter 4. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So we see Elohim, translated God, in the New Testament. Jehovah is translated God in the Septuagint. That's that Greek version of the Old Testament, and we see it in the New Testament. Here's a quote from Vines again. His unoriginated, immutable, eternal, and self-sustained existence. That is Jehovah, is it not? Man doth not live by bread alone, by bread only, Deuteronomy 8:3, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Jehovah. Jesus said in Matthew 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Theos. All right, so we're plowing a little bit this morning, but there are your two main words, Lord and God, that are used to translate the many words, things of God in the Old Testament. Now, what did Jesus say? What did Jesus claim? And I hope that when we're finished today and then ultimately at the end of the series, that we will be more and more convinced, like our faith is maybe like it needs strengthening about this, but maybe it does. But the deity of Christ. You know, Jesus was either God, is either God manifest in the flesh, or I think we'll see he's a total fraud. Right? He's either God or he's a fraud. He's a liar. Those are pretty strong words. Even the thought of them are offending you just a bit this morning, but it's the truth. In fact, if he's not God, if he hasn't risen from the dead, are we not in vain? So, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. Well, wait a minute, Russ. That's that word Lord, you know, they translated it with a capital L, but maybe Jesus was only saying that he was an authority figure. All right, fair enough. Let's go on. Notice the word Elohim. In Psalm 66, verse 16, come and hear all ye that fear God, Elohim. And I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Let me ask you, do you think Jesus had this verse in mind when he said in Mark 5:19, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee? In Luke chapter 8, verse 39, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. Jesus had just healed, and he, reflecting on the Psalms, God is the one that heals, but he said, go and tell what God has done. Well, wait a minute, Brother Russ. He could just be giving God the glory, not claiming anything. Well, let's go on. Matthew chapter 22. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? All right, any ambiguity here? Jesus is speaking of himself. Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord? Saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? Is Jesus clearly identifying himself here with Lord? Absolutely. Absolutely. What about the word Theos, God, in the New Testament? Psalm 66:16. Come and hear all ye... I apologize. We'll just look at it again. Come and hear all ye that fear God. And then in Luke, I meant to delete that top one. Luke 8:39, return thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto him. Now watch this. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city, what? How great things Jesus had done unto him. Go tell the world what God has done. What does he do? He goes and tells what Jesus had done. Did he get it wrong? Did he disobey? No, we see it. See, remember? Remember the illustration? We see it. The tentacles of the prophecies being fulfilled, reaching deep into the New Testament, being fulfilled in Christ. We can look at some more Old Testament links. In Psalm 34, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good, Jehovah. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. 1 Peter chapter 2, 3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Who's he speaking of? Who's Peter speaking of here? To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Peter speaking of Christ. Taste and see that the Lord Jehovah is good. Taste and see that Christ is good. In Isaiah chapter 8, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Who's the Lord of hosts? The Lord of hosts, we learned about him last week, didn't we? Jehovah, right? The Lord of hosts, and let him be your fear and let him be your dread. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Sanctify the Lord, kuios, God, theos, in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Isaiah chapter 41. I, the Lord, this one is a blessing. I, Jehovah, the first and with the last, I am He. What did Jesus say about that? When I saw Him, that's John speaking, I fell at His feet as dead. And He laid His right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Is He not identifying Himself with Jehovah here? Maybe it was Pastor Kyle who said, if He's not, He's sure not going out of His way to deny it, is He? I don't know if that was you that said that or not. You'll take that? All right. If you're taking notes, Brother Kyle White said that. He's sure not going out of His way to prevent the worship. Isaiah 44:6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Jesus speaking in Revelation, I am Alpha. What is that? First. And Omega, the last. The beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. El Shaddai, Almighty God. I am first and last. Exodus chapter 3. God said unto Moses, I am that I am. That self-existent one. Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Jesus said unto them in John 8, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Was there power in those words when He said that? I am. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 20. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Who's the light? Jehovah is the light. L-O-R-D in capitals. Jehovah is the light. What did Jesus say? Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The psalmist in that probably most often quoted Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. We learned about that too, didn't we? I shall not want. Who is that? Jehovah Ra? I am, Jesus says, the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Hebrews chapter 13, New Testament. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus Christ is God. He is Jehovah.
He says he is. We're not talking out of school here. And I would say that whoever knocks on your door, if they don't agree to that, you have nothing else to talk about. He is God. You have no common ground. I don't care if they call themselves Christian, if they can quote the book of Romans. If they don't know Christ as God manifest in the flesh, there is no common ground. Now, let me give you some practical, very practical information here regarding this. I mentioned a moment ago that now infamous quote from Brother Kyle that says, if Christ was not claiming to be deity, then he sure didn't go out of his way to prevent people from thinking so. Should we, according to the scriptures, go out of our way to prevent people, others, from worshiping us? We should. We should. And it happens. It happens. I was watching some old video of I don't remember who it was. I probably shouldn't even mention the name if I knew, but it was after the British rock and roll invasion. And the screams were being offered up. And the tears. What's going on there? The fainting. Well, it's worship. Sorry, but that's what it is. Are you comfortable with that? Shouldn't be. Do we have a biblical directive? Do we have directions, I should say? Do we have directions from the Scripture regarding this principle? Well, we do. Let's look at a few of them. We have time this morning. Let's go to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. What did Jesus say to men? He said, regarding those who would exalt themselves, in verse 5, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master. Who? Even Christ. And all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called master, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. So here is the attitude put forth by Christ regarding our relationship with each other. And then in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Peter, in verse 25, was as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, this Gentile, and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. Have you ever heard Jesus pick somebody up from the ground off his knees and say, don't do that? Have you ever read that in the scriptures? I see no account of that. Don't worship me. But here Peter says, as a man, understanding what he was, don't worship me. I'm a man just like you. And then in chapter 12,
Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them, and the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a God." Here's worship, is it not? "And not of a man." And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Interesting side note, you ought to read the history of Herod here. And what history says about his death. What did the angel of the Lord think about men worshiping other men? Pretty serious thing, wasn't it? Let's go on. Chapter 14. Verse 11. "And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lyconia," Lyconia, let's just go with that for now, "the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. "And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker." Now, I want you to notice, I know you know this scripture, but look at the reaction. "Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice." Sacrifice unto whom? Unto Paul and Barnabas. "Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, 'Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past," I'm going to read on because it's important at the end, "who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, and that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." And then in verse 18, with these sayings, "scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them." It's pretty serious in the mind of Paul and Barnabas that no sacrifice, no worship be directed their way. And then one more, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. "Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator." This was a problem according to Romans, and I'm sure you understand the context of this. Here is an indictment on those who worshiped the creature, the created thing. Now, our emphasis is going to be, in the days ahead, the deity of Christ. I am quoting here to wind up the lesson from Hogg and Vines in their notes on Thessalonians, and this is via the Vines New Testament Dictionary. "The full significance of this association of Jesus with God under one appellation, Lord, is seen when it is remembered that these men belong to the only monotheistic race in the world. To associate with the Creator one known to be a creature was quite impossible to a Jew." That's why when Jesus said, "I and my Father are one," and the Jews took up rocks
They understood what he was saying. He was making himself God. Did they misunderstand? Not in the least. He was making himself equal with God. All of these verses that we just read are very plain what our relationship should be to each other. But there was one who came. There was one who came, born of a woman, ostensibly a creature, in that he had earthly parents, they thought, father and mother. But the truth was, his father was not Joseph. His father was the Holy Ghost of God. And he was that son that was given, that we read of in Isaiah. He was that son who had stepped out of glory. And so when men bowed at his feet and worshiped him, he didn't stop them. And he won't. Is Jesus God? Is Jesus the God of the Old Testament? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I and my Father are one, he says. Maybe this is coming across a bit elementary to us, but I don't know that we fully conceive in our minds. I don't know that we understand it from a practical standpoint who it is that we worship. Our God is one. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, he's one. Three persons, one God. Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the Bible said. And then as we go on, we're going to take the individual names a little bit more in particular and see how Jesus Christ is the fulfillment, the personification, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. Thank you, Father, this morning, for who you are. Thank you that we are allowed to worship you. We would do that this morning. I pray that as we proceed, that you would meet with us in a mighty way. Father, save sinners here today. Edify the saints. Sanctify us, Father. Grow us in grace and knowledge. And conform us to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in his name. Amen.